This is Relationship Truth Unfiltered, a podcast that ditches destructive traditions and delves into real biblical teaching about relationships. Welcome. I'm Julie Sedanko here with relationship expert Leslie Vernick, and today we're talking about how pornography devastates a marriage. And we're going to answer the question, is pornography adultery? Leslie, I honestly don't know if there's a teenage boy or man alive who hasn't seen porn in one form or another. And there are many people who don't believe it's that big a deal. In fact, I know some couples actually watch porn together. So talk to our listeners about why pornography is dangerous.
Well, it's not just the Bible that says fantasies of the mind in a sexual nature can be dangerous, but studies are now showing through psychology and science that porn use can have a huge impact on your ability to be sexually function, that you know, we sort of become creatures of habit. And if you learn to be sexually turned on by a picture, masturbation, a certain kind of sex, you aren't turned on by your partner and love, you're turned on by eroticism or other kinds of kinky things, then it's also shown that more men who watch pornography have erectile dysfunction, aren't able to consummate marriages or consummate, you know, sexual acts because their body isn't responsive to a normal relationship, sexual life. It's responsive to what they've habituated to. So it's causing all kinds of problems. I think we're seeing today, you know, with some history in the internet use now, with people, even children, getting addicted to, you know, the internet and screens and all of that. And people are not just getting addicted to pornography, but they're getting addicted to just being on the internet. And I think it is scrambling our brains and causing us to be less intimate, less caring, less connected, more selfish, more self-absorbed. And so I think it's having all kinds of ramifications, not just the porn use itself, but the internet use as well. So I think the Bible doesn't just talk about that. Science is now talking about that. People are concerned about the way it's impacting people's lives. And so I don't think we can justify it or excuse it anymore as normal stuff. It's harmful stuff when we do it to excess.
Well, and not to even mention that most of those women that are in those videos are probably sex trafficked and,
So it's very
harm to her. Yeah.
Right. So it's very, it's a horrible industry. It's an industry which demeans and objectifies women as objects to use, that mistreats children and traffics children for money and for people to abuse live and then take videos of it so that other people can watch it. And it's just a terrible, evil plight. Jesus says, you know, anyone who harms one of these children, it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around their neck. And so pornography with watching children or objectifying women or harming women, and just normal pornography of just normal watching sexual activities, is that adultery? And as much
as— That was my next question. Yeah, a lot of people don't think it is. If you're not physically, you know, having intercourse with an actual person, then it's not adultery.
Yeah, so I don't know where people get that. Because adultery, at least my idea of the word adultery, doesn't mean that someone had sexual intercourse with another person that wasn't their wife. That certainly is adultery, but there's more than that that's adultery, both biblically as well as in real life. So adultery is really unfaithfulness. I mean, in Jeremiah, God divorced Israel for her adulterous heart. Now, she didn't have any physical sex with people, but she had other loves other than God. Jesus himself says, the law says, you know, do not commit adultery. But I say, if you look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery. So I think the reason that churches are so reluctant to equate pornography with adultery is that Jesus says the only reason for divorce is adultery. And if they put pornography in that equation, what does that mean? Like, a ton of people are going to say, I'm qualified biblically for divorce, and they don't want that to happen. So it's easier for them to deny what scripture really says. But I think, you know, consistent pornography use, Jesus does consider adultery. And he considers it serious. He says it'd be better for you to go through the rest of your life with one eye than if you keep both eyes and they cause you to stumble. And so this is serious stuff. And it's not just about your sexual life, but to objectify woman by looking at her as an object to use, by having sex with her in your mind, or looking at her body instead of her heart and her spirit as a person, says that you're degrading and dishonoring her as an image bearer. And God doesn't want that for women or men or couples or families.
So if a man is caught using pornography and he says he's stopped, and maybe he really has, does that mean that the problem is over, or is there something else that needs to be addressed?
I think that all of us are tempted with certain things. So if I go to a party and drink too much, and did that in college, you know, and vomit my guts out the next day and feel sick, and I say, oh, I'm never doing that again, I don't know that I need to go to counseling over that if that's true.
Right. Right.
But if I keep doing that, then I think they have a bigger problem. So do people get tempted to watch porn? Yes. Do people get tempted with all kinds of things, to, you know, drink too much, to try cocaine, to smoke a joint, to spend too much money, to eat too much cake, to, you know, we get, our flesh is strong. The Bible tells us that our flesh will always get the best of us if we don't learn to have a good, strong no. And so the Bible tells us in Titus, it says, teaching us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. But many of us have become a slave to our passions, which is what the Bible calls addiction, or what the world calls addiction. The Bible doesn't call it addiction, it calls it slavery. But same thing, we've lost our no, we've lost our ability to say no. So I don't know that anybody who's ever watched porn needs professional help, but I do think that when we minimize it and we normalize it and we sanitize it and say it's not that bad, I think we're hurting ourselves and we're hurting one another because it is that bad.
So I'm going to ask you a question. You know, I love to put you on the spot, Leslie. Let's talk about masturbation. Is that wrong? Is that a sin? Or is that okay? I mean, you know, we've got women even that their husbands are overseas for long periods of time, whether they're in the military or maybe they're disabled. Is it wrong to masturbate?
Well, Julie, you didn't tell me you were going to ask me this question.
I don't think I'm sorry.
So, you know, I think there are pros and cons. And so I'll just say that nowhere in the Bible does talk about lusting, and it does talk about that kind of thing, but it never says anything about self-stimulation or masturbation. So I think that there is a question mark about what that looks like and why you would do it. So I think that if a husband has been dead or a wife has been dead and you are struggling with that, it might be that you take care of that need yourself for a season or for the rest of your life if you're older and that is the way you choose to do that. I think people have different convictions on that. Some people would say it's wrong. I would say that when we do that as a way of avoiding intimacy, then it's harmful and can be, if you're married and you have opportunity to be sexual and you're doing that instead of being with your spouse, I think that's harmful to your spouse and harmful to you because it's a quick, easy fix to a need that you have that you don't need to be vulnerable. You know, when you have a sexual need, it's kind of scary or vulnerable at times to say to your spouse, I need you. I want you. I want to be with you. And that's a hard thing for some people to say. And so it's just easier to take care of yourself than to go to your spouse and be intimate and loving and together that way. And so if you're married, I think masturbation would be inappropriate unless one of you is injured or ill or disabled for a season and you have a need and you don't want to be tempted outside the marriage or even tempted with pornography. People who are overseas, things like that. But I think that when you have a partner available to you and you're using masturbation, I think that's an issue that you really need to take a look at.
Well, and going back to pornography, we typically think of that as a man's problem. But what if a woman is listening to this and she finds herself watching pornography?
I think it's very tempting to watch pornography or read about pornography. I mean, 50 Shades of Grey was a book that's a bestseller. And, you know, I didn't read it, but I read the write-up about it. And I thought, wow, this is interesting that women are finding this stimulating, especially because this man is an abusive man. And so it was just really actually disheartening to me that so many women would find that a turn on. But I think that women are becoming more awakened to their own sexual desires. I think for a long time, women were kind of seen as meeting a man's needs and not really talking about their own needs. I remember when I was in college, we finally started talking about a woman's body and, you know, what are our body parts and how do they work and what parts give you sexual pleasure, which I don't ever remember hearing about in school or anything like that. No. So I think that women are becoming more awake to God has given them a part in their body, a little button that just is for sexual pleasure. And it's okay to have sexual pleasure. And sometimes a woman's husband has no interest. He uses her body as an object to get his pleasure, but isn't interested in giving her pleasure. So I think women are curious about pornography. Women are curious about those things, just as men might be. But I think it is a rabbit hole of danger. And I think the Bible tells us it's sinful. If you look at that and lust, that is, especially if you're married, that's committing adultery. It's sinning against your partner by having sex with someone else outside of marriage, outside of your marriage. And so I think to recognize that this isn't a safe or legitimate way to get your need met, and to really pray about that and think about that, because I think that pornography is a really easy way to not just deal with your sexual need, but it's selfish. You know, you don't have to meet anybody else's needs. You just get your own needs met. It's solitary. You're not connected with anybody. You're not in a relationship with anybody. You're using someone to meet your need. You're not giving anything back. It's making you feel like you're special or you're something when you might feel inadequate in order to function in a normal relationship. You now can be the really special person in this fantasy relationship. But mental health-wise, and emotional health-wise and spiritual health-wise, it's harming you in every way.
Are you tired of feeling stuck in a never-ending cycle of relationship struggles? Do you find yourself constantly questioning whose problem it really is? Is it your problem? Is it their problem? Does the solution even exist? It's time to stop the guesswork and start finding answers. If you've been making endless sacrifices that don't seem to be helping, if you're walking on eggshells to avoid triggering emotional explosions, and if you're feeling drained, depressed, and unwell, it's time to make a change. Join us for a free eye-opening workshop happening Tuesday, February 13th. During this workshop, you'll actually begin to understand the dynamics of your relationship, learn to define boundaries, and begin taking steps toward your own growth. Go to leslievernick.com/Okay, and take the first step, redefining your relationships and rediscovering yourself. What advice would you give, Leslie, to a woman who has found a child watching pornography?
So I think it's really important to not shame your child, whether you find them watching pornography or you find them masturbating. I think that's really common for us to find our children masturbating. And we sort of normalize it with little boys and we're horrified when we see our little daughters doing it too.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I think to be able to say, oh, you found that special spot in your body that feels really, really good, didn't you? And, you know, and yes, you're right. That does feel really, really good. And God made that special part for you. When you get to be a grown-up, you get to enjoy that in a marriage with a special person. And this is something that's, you know, and so I think that you don't want to shame it. And you also want to say, this is not something we do in front of people. We don't do it in the car. We don't do it at school. We don't do it, you know, on the couch. This is something that we don't do in front of people. And I think, you know, they're, if they're a child, they're not masturbating to orgasm. They're just exploring.
Right.
And so I wouldn't forbid it, but I would just say, you know, it's sort of like wiping your butt. You do it in the bathroom. Yeah, by yourself.
Don't explore in front of grandma at Thanksgiving.
Right. Or at school in front of your teacher, you know, right. The things that you do, you know.
But if you have a teenager and you find he's been watching porn on his phone or something on the computer, how do you deal with that?
Again, I would say the same way. I think you want to affirm their curiosity without shaming them and then helping them establish some boundaries around that. So to be able to say, you know, I see that you've been watching some porn. I don't blame you. This is a really normal part of growing up where you're really interested in women's bodies. You're interested in sex. You're interested in how all that works. You're discovering your own body and this is really normal, but I just need you to know that pornography is not healthy any more than drinking a lot of alcohol or taking drugs or other kinds of ways of feeling good is not healthy in the long run. And so I don't want you to do this anymore. I want you to put some controls on the computer. I'm going to put some controls on the computer because I know you're going to be tempted. I don't want you to feel bad about this because it's normal to be curious, but God has created this piece of your life for a very important relationship that we don't want to ruin by getting addicted to the wrong things.
And it is so addictive, isn't it?
It is. It's very addictive. And so I think it's really important to educate your children, to be on top of things, and teaching them to say no to themselves. How many of us all the time have to say no to ourselves for a higher yes? Like, no, I'm not going to scream and hit my kid across the mouth right now, even though I feel like it, because my higher yes is I want to be a good parent and I don't want to be ashamed of the way I handled myself in this moment. Or no, I'm not going to drink another glass of wine, even though I want one, because yes, I want to drive home safely and not get a DUI. I mean, we always have to practice that in our life. And so we want to teach our kids, no, you can't go out and play right now because you have a test tomorrow and you need to study now for a higher yes. I want to get into college, or I want to get a good grade, or I want to master that subject, or I want to please my teacher, whatever small yes, big yes you have. They've done a study, and I'm sure you've heard of this. Everybody's seen it on YouTube somewhere, where little kids were studied for emotional intelligence, and they were given a bowl of M&Ms or gummy bears or whatever. And they said, you know, there were like five of them in there, and they said, there are some gummy bears in here, M&Ms. You can eat them now, or if you don't eat them, when we come back, we'll give you a whole bag. And they wanted to see if the kids could say no to themselves. These were little kids, like 2 and 3 and 4 years old.
I wouldn't have lasted 5 seconds. Yeah.
So can you not eat these 5 candies and let's go out of the room and we'll watch you through a hidden camera? Or are you going to just gobble them down and you don't care about the second 5 minutes from now? You don't care about the bigger bag that you could get if you just said no to yourself now. And so they did this. And so it was so funny to watch these kids, because some of them, you know, they were like looking at the candy and they were like chasing and they were walking around the room, but they weren't going to eat that candy. And then they got the bigger bag. And then other kids could not for the life of them wait. And they just gobbled down the candy. But they studied these kids through their lifespan. And they found the kids who could delay gratification, could say no in the moment for a higher yes, did much better in their lives. So that's an essential, foundational, emotional maturity skill that all of us need to function. And so as a parent, it's really important to teach your kids that. And so for pornography, it would be the same thing. You have to learn to say no to yourself in this moment for a higher yes, for having a better marriage, a sexually safe and loving marriage where you're not addicted to something that you're going to pay a price for in your marriage.
Leslie, I know there are people listening and pornography has unfortunately invaded their marriage, their family life. Is there hope for them? Can this be resolved? And if so, how?
God gives us a lot of hope that we can learn to say no we can learn to say no. I want to read a passage in 2 Peter 2. It talks about the Lord rescuing us. He said, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials. And he says, but he goes, he's especially hard on those who follow their own twisted sexual desire and despise authority. These people are proud and arrogant, daring to even scoff at supernatural beings without so much as trembling. These false teachers are like unthinkable animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and not destroyed. And then it goes on, their destruction is their reward for the harm they have done. They love to indulge in evil pleasures in broad daylight. They are disgrace and stain among you. They delight in deception. Even as they eat with you in your fellowship meals, these are Christians among us, or they call themselves Christians. They commit adultery with their eyes. Is porn adultery?
Yes. Yeah.
They commit adultery with their eyes. This is in 2 Peter 2:14. And their desire for sin is never satisfied. They lure unstable people into sin, and they are well-trained in greed. They have wandered from the right road. And so it says they have a lifestyle of deception. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. So Peter says this is where that leads to. Is that where you want to go? No. No. So is there hope? Yes. God says that there is forgiveness, there is redemption. But when you walk down a long road of not just addiction, the primary word in that passage, deception, self-deception, other people deception, you lie about your intentions, you lie about what you're doing to keep what you're doing hidden. So in a sexual addiction, it's very easy to keep lying and for the person who's the victim of it to keep believing because they want their marriage restored. And so it's not the addiction that is the biggest problem. It's the deception. Because once the addict is willing to be honest, once the addict is willing to say, I'm an addict and I need strong boundaries and I need control and I need help, then they can get it. But it's when they're lying to themselves and lying to others that the addiction will never be resolved because the lying is still there. Huh. And so the lying around the addiction is a deeper issue than fixing the addiction. The person has to really come clean and be honest, not just about the addiction, but about the deceit around the addiction in order for really them to get help. And the deceit with themselves that they don't need help, because they do. Because if they didn't need help, they wouldn't have gotten to where they got.
Is there anything else that you want to say to our listeners regarding this issue of pornography and how it impacts?
Yeah, I think this is really important that none of us have a clean slate. None of us have a perfect life. All of us have issues that we're struggling with. And so I think it's really important for us to not be judgmental and condemnation toward others who are struggling with a sin. It says, you who are spiritual in Galatians 6:1, restore such one in a spirit of gentleness and compassion. So I think that if you are married to an addict of any kind, we don't come out with, oh, you're an addict, you're bad, you're going to hell, you better change. We come at it with, I care about you. You're caught in a trespass. You know, I can't fix this for you. I can help you, but I can't fix this for you. Do you want to get well? Which is what Jesus asked the man who'd been paralyzed for 38 years. Do you want to get well? So I think we come to them with humility and love in the same light, understanding that we can't change or fix them. We can only support and encourage them. So what we have to decide with is if they decide they don't want to change or they're not willing to do the work for whatever reason, they're not ready, they're too scared, they're not ready to be honest. What does that mean for us? You see, what happens is we get so caught up in trying to fix their problem, we're creating a problem of our own. We're getting depressed, we're getting angry, we're getting resentful, we're getting controlling over them. And that's not healthy for us either.
No.
And so I think the advice I would give to someone who's married to an addict is, what is your problem with their problem? I'm lonely, I'm scared, I'm angry, I'm tempted. I'm tempted to act out myself to show him what it's like. I'm tempted to, you know, scream and curse at him because he's such a, you know, loser. However we get tempted, we're tempted to do some bad things in retaliation for what they're doing that's harming or hurting us. And so I think when we can say, what's my problem with his problem? It might be, my problem is I don't feel safe. I don't want to have sex with him. I can't trust him. I can't trust him with our finances because he's blowing all kinds of money on these things. And so what do I need to do to be a steward of me, my safety, and our children? And you can work on that.
Yeah.
You can't fix him. You can be compassionate. You can be loving. You can invite him to do the work and be supportive of him doing the work. You can't do the work for him.
No, you can't.
Or her.
Would you pray for them? Pray for our listeners.
Father, we all have issues. Please help us never to be haughty and judgmental as if we're the perfect one. I think of the story of the prodigal son and the elder brother who judged his younger brother harshly, as if he was perfect and he was so self-righteous, full of his own prideful living, that he couldn't see his own dark heart. And so, Lord, help us not to be judgmental of the addict or condemning, that we would be compassionate, loving, without enabling. Sometimes we confuse that, and we love to enable instead of love to restore. Help us to take care of our side of the street so that we don't become bitter, resentful, or act out ourselves because we feel like, if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you, and we just make things even worse. Help us to know your heart in this and how sin breaks relationships. It really does. And that breaks your heart. But sometimes we can't fix the relationship. We can only take care of ourselves. And so, God, help us to have that wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you for joining us today on Relationship Truth Unfiltered. If you're struggling with a destructive relationship and wondering if there's a way out, you're not alone. It's time to break free from the cycle of uncertainty and frustration. Join us on Tuesday, February 13th for Leslie's free workshop titled, I'm Not Okay When You're Not Okay, defining my problem, your problem, and our problem. All you need to do is head over to leslievernick.com/okay. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to understand your relationship dynamics, learn to set boundaries, and find your own path to personal growth. Right now, go to leslievernick.com/okay, and let's embark on this journey together.